The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Happy February, everyone. This recording will be played initially on Groundhog Day. So let's hear that, hope that Punxsutawney Phil does not see his shadow so we can have some nice warm weather. Anyway, let's go started on the February Reader's Digest. And I will forewarn you that this might end up being kind of a short month with the Reader's Digest because, once again, without explanation, they have decided to combine the March and the February together, just like they do December and the January. That's a little heads up for you. Anyway, let's start off with the Dear Reader. I must have been 3 or 4 when I woke one morning, remember a trip I'd taken alone to Disneyland before I was born. It was so real to me that I bawled when my 2 older brothers laughed at my story. But this happened, I cried. Honestly, I had met Mickey Mouse, ridden the Matterhorn, everything, and it was amazing. So began my lifelong tussle with memory. While my dreams invent experiences I can't shake, important life events and old friends reside in a fog of impressions. Even my one pride, recalling the details of every trail I've ever walked, has fallen away. Now, when Susan and I come to a fork in a familiar trail, I just shrug. A once-trusted scout absent his sole gift. Out of shame, I've compensated spectacularly, building an absurd alternative memory literally as big as a room. It's an attic full of cabinets and boxes holding 500 pounds of clippings, maps, tickets to everything I've attended, report cards, mine and my kids, obits, work files, Christmas cards, and really willy-nilly scrawled thoughts. To what purpose? Good question. I don't refer to the material because how would I find what I was looking for? My kids laugh out loud when I say it's for them. I'll never write one memoir from this mess, much less a dozen its size implies. It's as if a hoarder of evidence that I exist. The truth about memory may help stop the madness. Memory, explains, isn't about evidence. It's about just an old man telling tales by a fire, prone to nonsense, but also entertaining as heck and rich with meanings to savor. Reading it, I felt a weight lift. If a good memory is a brain full of unreliable, deeply felt stories, I have those out the wazoo. You do too, I'm sure. Write me about a powerful memory that makes you smile, no matter how foggy or questionably true it is. I bet it won't be as fantastic as my sojourn in Disneyland, but convince me otherwise and we'll publish it so others can smile along with you. Bruce Kelly, Editor-in-Chief. You can write to him at letters@rd.com. Letters. Notes on the November issue. The nicest places in America. I'm an Army officer serving as a staffer for a member of Congress. I've been privileged to serve domestically and overseas and visit all 50 states. This story reaffirmed my faith in our country. We're so much more united than divided. Thank you, Buchanan, Michigan, for showing us that. I can't wait to visit. Jeremy Christopher, Washington, D.C. Secrets and lies that are happening and that are harming your life. The section titled The Recycling Myth, outlining how less than 10% of all plastic in the United States has been recycled over the past 40 years, was a blow to this fastidious recycler. That said, we must make recycling more efficient for all products, and our beautiful earth is at stake. Mary Schild, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Why we should rest on the Sabbath. As the years have gone by, my perspective on the Sabbath has changed. When I was young, it felt as if there's so many things we could not do. Now, as a mother of 6, it's a gift. One day a week when I put aside work, laundry, and cooking to rest, worship, and enjoy my family. What a blessing. Bobby Croyce, Hull, Iowa. The bank robber on the bicycle. The illustration with the bike wheels drawn as coins was a wee bit off. The back wheel is an Eisenhower daughter, which has a 38.1 millimeter diameter, and the front is a Susan B. Anthony dollar with a 226.6 millimeter diameter. That's like having a 36-inch front wheel and a 24-inch wheel in the back. The Eisenhower should be a Sacagawea dollar with identical diameter to the Susan B. Anthony. J. Stevenson, New Franklin, Missouri. Boy, that's nitpicking if you ever heard of it. Your brain was made for walking. This article made me think of the genius the Wright brothers. Both were prodigious walkers and cyclists. When traveling overseas to demonstrate their invention in the French city of Le Mans, Wilbur wrote home about walking the ocean liner's promenade deck, about 5 to 10 miles every day. Tamara Rosa, Dighton, Massachusetts. We found a fix. I was amused with your trick to put aluminum foil on surfaces to repel cats. When our daughters left home, our cat expressed her unhappiness by relieving herself on the couch. So I tried foil there. Next day, wet foil. Then I tried cover it with a plastic tablecloth. Next morning, wet again. Finally, I showed her. I bought a pet gate. Rachel Leviathan, Baltimore, Maryland. Everyday Heroes. Your surfer due to the rescue. The story reminded me of my 10-year-old granddaughter. She was surfing this summer when she heard two people yelling and found a mother and son caught in a riptide. She got them to hang onto her surfboard and paddle them back to shore, just like these surfer dudes. That's amazing, 10-year-olds. Sandra Foley, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Dog Heroes. Our son was a kennel master in Afghanistan and told us about a Marine who was lost to a sniper. The Marine's bob-diffing Labrador Eli covered his body loyally until the other Marines finally pulled him off. Eli never worked again, as he constantly searched for the man he'd bonded to. Retraining didn't work, so Eli was retired and sent to live with the Marine's family. At the airport, he jumped into the arms of the fallen man's younger brother. D.T. Harley, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Not every hero dog was returned to home after World War II. My family lived on the island of Saipan a few years ago, and running loose all over the island are descendants of the abandoned war dogs. It's very common to see these mild-mannered pups, called boonie dogs, wandering around looking for food or businesses or dodging traffic. Rachel Slater, Boonville, Indiana. Life is a highway. When it comes to iconic American road trips, there are plenty of avenues worth exploring. Have you driven cross-country from sea to sign and she? Did you have some fun on Highway 101 or get your kicks on Route 66? Maybe you took a memorable journey home for the holidays with an unexpected co-pilot. Whatever your great road trip, go to rd.com/roadtrips to submit it and see terms, and might make it a future Reader's Digest feature. And there's a picture of two young ladies driving through the desert with a mesa in the distance, one of them holding up a map. Both of them look like they're enjoying it because it's a convertible and it's sunny. Everyday Heroes. Everyday Heroes. The trumpet is his weapon, and as a young black man with fairly long dreadlocks, standing there, and obviously it must be New Orleans, there's a streetcar behind him. He's got red shoes on and a red undershirt, and wearing a blue jeans jacket with a white overshirt under it, and blue jeans, and he is blowing a stumpy little trumpet. "What saved me and redirected my path was the trumpet," says Allen. "The trumpet is his weapon." Alarmed by a tragic shooting in his hometown of New Orleans, told you, musician gives hope to kids for a song. Shamar Allen was dozing at home one evening last July when he was startled awake by a TV news item. There had been a shooting among a group of children in the 7th Ward of New Orleans, only a few miles from Allen's home, and a 9-year-old boy named Devontae Bryant had been killed. Allen was horrified and heartbroken. He thought of his own 9-year-old son. Originally from the city's rough lower 9th Ward, Allen is one of the most celebrated jazz trumpeteers in a city that's teeming with them. His band, Shamar Allen and the Underdogs, that's D-A-W-G-S, has released 3 albums, and he is a feature on local television as a street performer. After seeing the tragic news that morning, it didn't take long for Allen to hit on a possible antidote. He had a few spare trumpets lying around. Maybe he could offer them to kids in exchange for their guns. What saved me and directed my path was the trumpet, the music and culture of the city that it connected me with, Allen says. It showed me that success, connections, and differences can be managed through self-expression. Allen named the program My Trumpet as My Weapon. After all, it was something of a personal mantra. He met with the New Orleans mayor to figure out how to make children feel safe coming forward with their guns, and the chief of police agreed to dismantle everything Allen collected, no questions asked. Just to see that they actually want to give up their guns. That the cool part about it, says Allen, who has collected 7 guns so far, small but symbolically important start. But he doesn't stop with the swap of gun for instrument. After the exchanges, Allen connects with the children, with local musicians who give them free virtual trumpet lessons. He also started a GoFundMe page to purchase more instruments to give away. So far, he has collected over $45,000. More importantly, he has fostered hope for his city and the young people looking for a better life. I just say, look, I came from where you come from, and I can show you the way that got me out, says Allen. And music may be the only way for you, maybe the way for you, but it... I'm sorry, let me start that again. And music may not be the way out for you, but it will at least open your mind to see what's out there. cavemen and women to the rescue. And there's Buzzman the dog is a tenacious hunter. Luckily for him, so were his rescuers. And there's a picture of a young woman, blonde, rather attractive, two young men, and another young woman, brunette, and they're wearing hard hats and it looks like they've been spelunking or in the caves. Mike White wasn't too concerned that his 5-year-old coonhound, Buzzman, hadn't returned following a sanctioned raccoon hunt in Campbellsburg, Indiana, last February. Still, it had been a few hours, so using his cell phone, White followed the pinging from the GPSs on the dog's collar to a narrow cave entrance, just large enough for a raccoon, and judging by the fresh dog prints, Buzzman, too. Now, White was concerned. Hunt organizer Logan Ray called in two spelunkers for help, Indians Conservation Officer Neil Brewington and National Cave Rescue Commission Coordinator Anmar Mirza. They arrived a few hours later and set about enlarging the entrance by hand. By 1:30 a.m. that Sunday, 10 hours after Buzzman went missing, the rescuers squeezed through. The passageway was just 3 feet high, forcing the two men to slowly belly crawl, the only light coming from headlamps attached to their helmets. Boy, I tell you, I'm claustrophobic. I could never do that. They stopped when they hit a tight crawl space about 100 feet in. Mirza, at the 5'6" and 230 pounds, is a stout man, to say the least. By way, would he fit through that? No way would he fit through that hole. By then it was 3:30 a.m. The men retreated back to the outside world. When Buzzman hadn't emerged by Sunday afternoon, smaller volunteers who might fit through that narrow gap were called in. At 5 p.m., with other volunteers watching and ready to lend a hand, 4 new cavers, 2 men and 2 women, wriggled through the entrance. Foremost in their mind was the fact that this type of cave floods. If it rains, Mirza says, that cave will kill people. That's not forecast rain. The cavers made their way to the light space that had stymied Mirza and shimmied their way through. On the other side was a passage with a stream. The 4 split up, the women crawling and swimming upstream, the men downstream. In caving, we call it a bathtub, says Mirza. Basically, you're lying down in water and you're going to get completely wet. After an hour or so, the women reached an impasse and could go no farther. They were cold and wet, and the threat of hypothermia was real. The men faced similar issues. Still, one of them, Kevin Romanok, decided to push a bit farther before calling it quits. He crawled 30 feet more, and the passage gave way to a large room. He scanned the floor with his headlamp, and then up the 15-foot-high walls. There was Buzzman, standing on a narrow ledge, nervously staring back at the stranger. Romanak gently attached a leash to his collar, helping him off the ledge. He strapped an extra light on the dog, and just like that, the coonhound took off toward the entrance 600 feet away. Romanark clinging to the leash. At 9:30 p.m., 30 hours after being led astray by a raccoon, Buzzman shot out of the cave, making a beeline for Mike White and slathering him in wet kisses. He was cold and hungry, but otherwise okay. His rescuers brought up the rear, emerging safely. In a total, 8 cavers answered the plea to search for Buzzman. It's great to have someone do that on a volunteer basis, Logan Ray, the hunt's cadet leader, read on Facebook. Mirza laughed off the praise. After all, going to dark, dank, tight spaces is their hobby. What we consider fun, he says, often gives most people nightmares. It would certainly give me one. Life in these United States. Looking out a diner window, I noticed a woman struggling to parallel park. After a few minutes of watching her inch up, inch back, and inch out, and inch in, I went outside to offer my help, which she readily accepted. After I parked her car, a man came over to thank me. You're welcome, I said. Are you her husband? No, he replied. I'm the guy parked behind her. Today, in incredible power moves, the cashier sniffed each of my candles as she rang them up and nodded or shook his head after each one. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Decades ago, I told a guy that I was studying meteorology. Cool. So when's the next one coming? The next thunderstorm? No, the next meteor. Don't think she dated him. Thinking about the time that I said I was listening rated to Marie Curie, and a guy explained, it's pronounced Mariah Carey. Whoa, these guys are kind of dumb. A friend used to say she put her foot down on the accelerator. She also would say her homeowner's insurance was paid through the escrow roll. Why do baby clothes have pockets? Are people really going up to babies and saying, hey, can you hold this for a second? Confronting my husband, I demanded how come he never tell me I look pretty. Even my sisters tells me I look pretty sometimes. Your sisters are absolutely right, said he grandly. You do look pretty sometimes. Ooh. He's in trouble. I received a call from the telemarketer asking to speak with my husband. Unfortunately, that's impossible, I told him. He's in heaven. In that case, he said, what's the best time to reach him? After she quit smoking, my mother gained 50 pounds in 6 months. Concerned, she asked her doctor, do you think I have an overactive thyroid? No, he said, you have an overactive fork. And here we have what appears to be a pamphlet. And it looks like a view down a valley with trees and mountains coming out of it, cliffs coming out of it. And it says, trees block view, and there are too many gray walks. Yosemite National Park. Not so Grand Canyon. America's national parks are treasures to behold, or at least most of us think so. Here are one-star Yelp reviews from tourism who beg to vivers. Sequoia. There are bugs and stuff, and they will bite you on your face. Yellowstone. It's like a bigger version of Central Park, only with bears. Yosemite. Trees block views and too many gray rocks. The Grand Canyon. A hole. A very, very, very large hole. Isle Royale. No cell service and terrible Wi-Fi. Arches. Narcissistic, selfish people pose right in front of the arch for their personal photos. Denali. The bus stops way too much. Now for some quotable quotes. Next time you are discussing an important issue with someone, ask yourself, is this a monologue or a dialogue? Personally, I'm only interested in the latter. Reese Witherspoon. Cool detachment only gets you so far. Passion gets you a lot farther. John Legend. I can live with a mistake. What I couldn't live with is sloppiness. And there's a difference. Dana Candy, publisher. You can achieve your dream at any age. Did you know that Harrison Ford at 30 was a carpenter? Vera Wang didn't design her first dress until she was 40. Even Captain Crunch joined the Navy at 50. Leslie Jones, comedian. Today we will live in the moment, unless it is unpleasant, in which case we will eat a cookie. Cookie Monster Muppet. One of my favorite Muppets. That and Snuffleupagus. We're always walking with our younger selves. I feel like I'm always answering to her about whether I'm being brave as I could be, or as big as I could be, or as I've been ambitious as I could be. Greta Gerwig, director. There are years that ask questions and years that answer. Zora Neale Hurston, an author. I am older than fire and twice as hot. Cher, and actress. Points to ponder. I have been a scoundrel all my life. Selfish, cruel at times, hard to work with. I'm grateful that so many have given me a second chance. That's when we're at our best, when we support each other. Not when we cancel each other out for our past mistakes, but when we help each other grow, when we educate each other, when we guide each other to redemption. Joaquin Phoenix, actor. Your true stories in 100 words. First class mail. I'm a letter carrier, and I occasionally run into people from my mail route in local establishments. One Sunday, my wife and I were shopping, and of course, I was not wearing my postal uniform. A young woman who lived on my route approached us with the dairy aisle and asked me, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" I smiled and said, "Yes, I'm your mailman." With a broad grin, she replied, "Oh, I didn't recognize you with clothes on." For those of us who have relations who are teachers, particularly elementary school teachers, it is really fascinating, and I've seen this many times in past years, to see one of her kids in a store and them not quite understanding why the teacher is that. Why she's there. Doesn't she live in the classroom all the time? Barbie to the rescue. My grandparents were attending a wedding when they received a call that I was being bored. Not wanting to seem rude, they debated whether to stay or eat first or just leave. They chose the latter and were at the hospital to welcome me as the newest member of the family. Later they learned that the whole wedding party got sick. I had saved my grandparents from a terrible case of food poisoning. 22 years later, they still love to tell this story. Abigail Beasley, Lake Oregon, Michigan. By the way, the previous story was by Frank Mongiello, Lakewood, New Jersey. He's a loving dad. I had a coworker who loved McDonald's food. No matter the lunch options at our office, he chose McDonald's every time. One day he brought his young son with him to work. I spoke to the son while his dad was clocking out to take him to lunch. At McDonald's, of course. "Do you love McDonald's as much as your daddy?" I asked him. He thought for a moment and said, "I really love McDonald's, but I think I like my daddy better." Lloyd Williams, Beckley, West Virginia. Papa Bear's good night. This is by David Warren, Miamisburg, Ohio. I was surprised to learn the sleeping arrangements at the log home we were sharing with my in-laws for the week, specifically that my young daughter had agreed to sleep in the first floor bedroom by herself. As we settled in, we discussed the number of deer we had spotted on our way up to the log home. "I hope we see a bear or two this week," my wife shouted. At bedtime, my wife and I retreated to the upstairs loft, and my in-laws headed to our bedroom on the first floor. My wife and I were about to doze off when our daughter appeared with a worried look on her face. She said a bear was scratching at her window. I decided it would be best if I slept downstairs, and my daughter shared the loft with my wife. On my way down, I passed by my father-in-law, asleep in front of the television. I was in bed only a couple of minutes when I heard a tap, tap, tap on the window. Something was indeed out there, but it wasn't a bear. At least that's what I told myself. Sometimes later, I was awakened by a loud, low-pitched growl. I saw a large figure in the doorway and froze as it inched closer to me. I realized what it was, only after my father-in-law leaned in to give me a kiss. I blurted out my deepest voice. "It's David." My father-in-law jumped back. We both laughed nervously at the awkward moment, and I explained my granddaughter's bedroom switch. He told him that the only thing scarier than a bear attack was Papa Bear coming in to kiss me goodnight. He growled in agreement. Oh, this ought to be a good one. 13 things. Pucker up. Facts about kissing. Number 1. Is it in his kiss? Scientists think so. During a smooch, our senses heighten and we subconsciously pick up things such as health and genetic compatibility of our lip-locking partner. A first kiss especially can be a make-or-break moment. 59% of men and 66% of women say they have ended things after a bad one. Number 2. Kissing is neither universal nor unique to humans. In 2015, anthropologists at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, concluded that fewer than half of the 168 cultures they studied engaged in romantic kissing. Meanwhile, apes such as chimpanzees and bonobos have been observed locking lips. Bonobos even use tongue. 3. One explanation of how the term French kiss came about is that British and U.S. servicemen returning from World War I described, and tried, a tongue-heavy approach they saw the French using. However, the French language had no formal word to describe the sensual style until a prominent dictionary included the term galoche, think sloppy wet galoshes, in its 2014 edition. Number 4. English has numerous ways to describe the mashing of lips, from the fancy osculation to the slangy necking and expressions such as baking out and tonsil hockey. When it comes to spelling out the sound of a kiss, most opt for moi. Germans, however, say schmarts. Greeks go for matzmutz, and the Japanese use chu. Number 5. A single kiss involves as many as 30 facial muscles. And while it's not exactly cardio, kissing can burn calories, 2 to 6 per minute, with more passionate sessions running up a total of 26. On average, we spend 2 weeks of our lives smooching, so it could take your entire kissing existence to work off that box of Valentine's Day's chocolate. Number 6. Unless you're Ekahatchei and La Cassinia Tianaria, who hold the world for the record's longest kiss, the Thai couple canoodled for 58 hours, 35 minutes, and 58 seconds back in 2013. They aren't the only ones who take smooching seriously. Thanks to philematology, the scientific study of kissing, we know that most people tilt their heads to the right as they pucker up. That's interesting. I actually tilt my head to the left. American films made between 1930 and 1968 were not to include excessive kissing, according to a set of guidelines called the Hays Code. Alfred Hitchcock cleverly got around this in his 1946 film Notorious by having Cary Grant and Ingmar Bergman kiss repeatedly, yet intermittently. Their lips never touched for longer than 3 seconds at a time. Number 8. The first interracial kiss on American television took place on an episode of Star Trek in 1968. Producers of the show worried about how some stations would react and wanted to film a second version in which the kiss happened off-screen. But actors William Shatner and Nicole Nichols, playing Captain Kirk and Lieutenant Uhuru, deliberately flubbed their lines to force them to use the original take. Number 9. Public displays of affection can get... That's kind of cool when you think about it. Public displays of affection can get you in trouble in some places. They're illegal in Dubai and frowned upon in China. Even the French outlawed smooches on train platforms to prevent amorous passengers from delaying train departures. Lip laws go back centuries. King Henry VI of England banned all kissing in 1439 to stop the spread of the bubonic plague. I guess that applies now, too. You can't take your mask off to kiss, can you? Number 10. While mononucleosis, a.k.a. the kissing disease, is only one of several conditions you can catch from a kiss, in most cases, swapping spit boosts your immunity. When you smooch someone new, you exchange tens of millions of microbe-long partners, microbes. Long-term partners share a common microbe mix from all their years of lip smacking. These exchanges help protect us against infections and maybe even allergies. Number 11. Sealing something with a kiss became a popular practice during medieval times, when the most people were illiterate. Someone who couldn't sign his name on a contract could instead draw an X and then kiss the mark to make it legally binding. That's why the X's in XOXO stand for kisses. Number 12. The tradition of kissing at midnight on New Year's Eve is a noted English folklore, and the superstition that not doing it portends a loveless year ahead. For good measure, New Year's revelers in Scotland kiss everyone in the room. 13. A dozen men and at least three women have claimed to be the most iconic smoochers in history. The nameless sailor and nurse locking lips in Times Square on VJ Day. Photographer Alfred Eisenstein started the following the sailor after he noticed him moving about the crowd and kissing anyone wearing a skirt. When the same sailor came upon the nurse, whose white dress contrasted nicely with his dark suit, Eisenstadt snapped the picture, but neglected to get their names, creating a mystery for the ages. The divine feline. In ancient times, cats were worshipped as gods. They haven't forgotten that. And with that, let us move to consumer reports for the second half of our program. As our lives have migrated more and more online since the onset of COVID-19, we have had to further wrestle with the concept of privacy and how it affects us every day. That means more than just the occasional worry that your child's teacher or an office colleague will catch a glimpse of the breakfast dishes in the countertop behind you when you appear on camera, or better yet, you stand up wearing your underwear. The bigger worry for all of us is learning that the online platforms you now use for work, school, and social togethers might not be keeping out our communications or our data private. It's far past time for privacy to be an ironclad right and not simply an optional setting on our device. As Zoom ballooned from 10 million daily meeting participants in the months before the pandemic to more than 300 million in April, CR experts investigated, discovering a number of platform accountability and privacy concerns. To its credit, the company rectified most of the issues we unearthed, but its cooperation didn't change the fact that hundreds of millions of people had just jumped into a boat without checking to see whether it was seaworthy. At CR, we want to ensure that you are making active choices about your data and your devices, and that companies that make smart products and platforms are designing them with your security and well-being in mind. We've helped with WIN safeguards, such as the trailblazing California Consumer Privacy Act, to help provide you with stronger protections, and we will keep working hard to ensure that our nation's laws and policies build greater trust and accountability into the marketplace. In this issue, we have teed up some practical digital security tips that will allow you to protect your privacy with your essential guide to online safety, which we'll talk about. I hope you visit CR's new and free security planner at securityplanner.org, which will help you create an easy and personalized way to ensure that your online privacy across devices and platforms is yours and yours alone. That's Marta L. Tolado, the President and CEO of Consumer Reports. And let me repeat that address, securityplanner.org. Curbing debt harassment. What's at stake? Debt collectors routinely contact consumers by phone, of course, but a new rule put in place by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau this past October will, starting in November 2021, explicitly let them do so by email, text message, and even social media messaging. It will also let collectors make up to 7 calls to each person every week, more if they have multiple debts, and send unlimited electronic collection messages. These changes are being made in the midst of an historic economic crisis. What's more, this new rule doesn't require debt collectors to verify that the money in question is still owed, even though they are notorious for trying to collect debts that were already paid or weren't owed in the first place. How CR has your back. CR has been working to protect consumers from abusive debt collection practices for years. Among other things, we asked the CFPB to limit collection calls, require collectors to get a consumer's consent before emailing or texting, and ban all collections via social media. What you can do, sign our petition urging the CFPB to stop the debt collection harassment and learn what to do if a debt collector contacts you at cr.org/debt0221. Crying foul on big tech. What's at stake? A recent CR survey found that American consumers across the political spectrum are concerned about the growing power of online platforms such as Amazon, Google, and Facebook. A clear majority said the government needs to step up oversight of these companies. CR's nationally representative survey of 3,219 adult U.S. residents found that roughly 3 out of 4 Americans worry about the power wielded by today's biggest tech companies. 8 in 10 said big tech mergers and acquisitions unfairly undermine competition and consumers' choice. 6 in 10 support more government regulation, and 65% said the companies should be held accountable for the products and services sold on their online platforms. 85% of those surveyed by CR said they were concerned about the amount of data being collected about them. How CR has your back? CR advocates sharing the findings with members of Congress who are conducting a bipartisan investigation into the power and practices of the biggest online platform giants. When the House Judiciary Committee Antitrust Subcommittee released its report, it identified a number of abuses of market power and highlighted CR's survey findings. The House staff report lays out clearly how our online marketplace is increasingly stacked against us and is not serving consumers fairly, says Martha Tilotto, president and CEO of Consumer Reports. A handful of powerful companies are restricting and controlling the choices of everyone else. What you can do? Sign CR's petition telling affected officials and righteous regulators to hold big tech accountable at cr.org/bigtech0221. Progress update. CR is opposing a recently adopted Department of Energy rule that would create a new class of dishwashers for the normal cycle would take 1 hour or less. The rule change not only is unnecessary, most dishwashers already have a quick wash option, but also could lead to new costs for both consumers and the environment. That's because, counterintuitively, longer cycle times enable today's dishwashers to conserve energy. Today's most efficient dishwashers also perform extremely well. All 35 of the models that earned an excellent overall score in CR testing also received an excellent rating for energy usage. What's at stake? Protecting online data. The California Consumer Privacy Act, approved in 2018, is the only online privacy law in the U.S. that gives consumers the right to access, delete, and stop the sale of their personal information. But the law wasn't working as planned. Companies were using loopholes to get around the restrictions and to deny consumers opt-out requests. How CR has your back? CR has been working to address problems with the CCPA since it was signed. In October, for example, we published a report documenting companies' failure to comply, and we threw our support behind Proposition 24, a California state ballot initiative designed to close many of the loopholes that companies were exploiting. In November, state voters approved it, and the reforms will be implemented over the next 2 years. What you can do? Learn more about CR's Digital Lab and our work for digital rights at lab.cr.org. Your feedback. How your race can change your medical care. How your race can change your medical care, December 2020, revealed that some lab tests give one result if a patient is black and another if they're not, and these different results can affect your treatment. Hear readers weigh in. The practice of across-the-board adjustments to medical test results based on race is outrageous. Dr. Roberts correctly dismisses the idea that black people as a race are distinguishable biologically just because of their race from other human beings. It seems that these principles are not taught in medical schools. Yes, skin color is a genetic trait, as are differences in measures of organ function, resistance to malaria, and undoubtedly others. Dark skin, resistance to malaria, the high retention of salt, are more common in people of African descent, but they're not caused by the same gene. You can't take an individual with a particular shade of skin and predict resistance to malaria, the need to adjust a glomerular filtration rate, GFR, blood test score, or anything else. Medicine needs to be a lot more individualized than that. Robert Moss, Bloomfield, New Jersey. Back when I was a scientist and biomedical research institute director, I recall political pressures being forced the National Institutes of Health to include suggested subgroups, e.g. gender, race, etc., in comparative studies to help assure more granular info on the effects of treatment interventions on individuals. This approach was applauded because it was thought it would improve both individual and overall outcomes. It necessitated larger and thus more expensive studies to assure adequate experimental and statistical power. So which is it? Do we disregard what we've learned about subgroups, or to replace inexpensive GFR screening, which indicates how fast a person's kidneys can filter blood, as a Q qualifier, and replace it with an approach that carefully measures every suspect individual's GFR? And what if it comes to some notable medical institutions dropping what they've learned from nested racial subgroups, and does this make sense in terms of cost versus benefit? Consider that the changes the author fronts could increase cost. Mark Ruthman, Prescott, Arizona. Editor's note. You ask, do we disregard what we've learned about subgroups? The question may be, is what we think we know about subgroups actually true? Because race isn't a biological category, experts believe that it's not a good proxy for understanding differences to people's kidney function. It may make time to find a good, cheap replacement for existing tests that use race adjustments, but that work is already being done. And some scientists argue that using the existing inexpensive test sans the race factor is accurate. I've recently realized that when the word black is used in print to recognize African Americans as a racial group, it uses the capital B as in B-L-A-K. But when white is used to recognize those of Caucasian race, I guess white is not capitalized. You use this distinction in your article on how race can affect medical care. When did the change occur? Who made the determination, or has it evolved as a consequence of increased awareness that the black lives matter? Just asking. Tom Edits, Milwaukee. Editor's note. We announced the style guard change in June following a thorough and thoughtful discussion on the use of terms in the style guide, specifically related to race. Like many other journalistic enterprises, CR has largely followed the AP style guide over the years, which are recommended lowercase for the executive black and white. CR makes adjustment as both language and society change. After careful consideration, we decided to change the editorial style to spell black with a capital B when referring to group, referring to ethnicity, culture, or group of people who are part of the African diaspora. The style remains lowercase for white, as physical description to describe light-skinned people, mostly of European descent, whose background may include many different cultures in addition to many cultures. In addition, CR, the AP, LA Times, New York Times, Boston Globe, Seattle Times, and NBC are among many media outlets that have also made their style change. The change in our style guide to modest but meaningful. As an organization dedicated to the mission of fairness and justice, it is important for us to reflect and continue to reaffirm our values. Data privacy and data security columns. Not mentioned in text. I don't connect my smart TV to the internet. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a paragraph. Regarding December 2020's big saving, big screens TV ratings, data includes data privacy and data security. Columns not mentioned in the text. I don't connect my smart TV to the internet, and it works just fine handling cable, DVD, and Roku content. I avoid the TV snooping and don't miss the TV's remote voice control feature because I use a universal remote. The TV whines occasionally that it longs to go online, but I don't let it. TV should be TVs, not computers. Gabriel Goldberg, Walters, Virginia. Editor's note. All smart TVs can collect and share significant amounts of personal data about their viewers, and so can the third-party apps that work with platforms. To help protect your privacy, our experts made a guide for how to turn off data collection for LG, Samsung, Sony, and Vizio TVs, as well as Roku, Android TVs, and Amazon Fire TV Edition. Go to cr.org/snooping TV 0221 for details. My TV is a 40-inch, 6-inch Samsung, just window shopping, but I was disappointed that big savings on big screens start with the 55 inches and up. Do those come with larger house and an automatic raise? Reviews of smaller sizes would be much appreciated. Editor's note. The large TVs are currently very popular. The most common screen size for a home's primary television is now 65 inches. We test TVs of all sizes and prices. The best mid-sized TVs in our test can still cost $1,000 or more, but we identify a budget-friendly $400 50-inch model in this issue on page 11, which will read, for more ratings of television, digital and all-access members can go to cr.org/TV0221. Money savers. In December 2020's practically painless way to spend less right now, you give examples of streaming services. All these references can to cord cutting. You never mention the value of cable. For people who don't have tech experts and can't find anyone to help, getting on these streaming services can be hard. Cable provides a way to watch so many different programs, and there is always tech support to help. Scott Cohen, Jackson, Tennessee. Get more music for less money. Should include AccuRadio.com, a free service with a large selection of genres and subgenres. You can't specify a selection, but it provides unlimited free skips to the next song and no commercials. I've enjoyed it for years on my computer and phone. David McMillan, The Woodlands, Tennessee. A sympathetic pet website, and this is from Garner, North Carolina, Beth Morrell. Regarding Chewy versus Amazon, which is best for pet parents. December 2020. My daughter's family and longtime Chewy customers recently lost their beloved 18-year-old cat. She notified Chewy to cancel the food delivery order. 2 days later, a flower arrangement arrived from Chewy. A month later, Chewy sent a portrait of their cat, hand-painted on canvas. What an amazing, caring company. When to retire your tires. How to choose the right tires, December 2020. The info on when to replace tires doesn't mention the effect of aging. My understanding is that tires deteriorate with age and should be replaced after about 6 years, even if there's plenty of tread left. Is this valid? Editor's note. Tires do age, risking cracks and other damage that can cause blowouts and flats. Some automakers say to remove tires after 6 years of use, and some tire manufacturers say 10 years of age, regardless of condition. It's best to consult your tire's manual. But aging is more than just the passing of time. If you live in a warm climate, drive on overloaded or underinflated tires, or drive at a sustained high speeds, your tires can age more rapidly. If you're not driving your car much this winter, turn to page 12 for more important tips, and I'll look at that when we get the chance to look at that. So right now we're going to see what we're testing in our labs, and this will be our page 11 thing that we mentioned earlier. Cookware sets. We tested 5 sets. We test for how evenly the frying pan heats, how quickly the water heats up in the largest part of the pan, cleaning ease, handle sturdiness under stress, and more. About the scores, the median was 76, the range was 70 to 81. The best overall performance was Anlon Smart Stack Nonstick 10-piece for $400, got an 81. Includes a Dutch oven. Tefal 10-piece stockable titanium nonstick was $100. Sturdy stainless steel set, Cephalon Premier space-saving 8-piece, $400, got a 70. Antivirus software. We tested 34 products. Halware software protects against live attacks, ease of use including installation and more. The Windows median was 75, the range was 41 to 82. The Max median 66, range 25 to 71. Best security for Windows. ESET Internet Security 2020 for $70, got an 82. Excellent Windows protection, free. Avira Free Security Suite, doesn't cost anything, 81. Best free anti-malware for Marks, AVG antivirus for Mac, for $1. Ask our experts. I own a Mac computer, so I don't need antivirus software, right? Less malware is aimed at Macs than at Windows PC, says Rich Fisco, CR's tech tester, but the amount has been on the rise in recent years. While PCs have built-in antivirus software, Macs don't, so without additional protection, your computer could get a virus. You can even give malware to friends with PC. You can't get an infected file and no knowing pass it on to a PC with a simple email, Fisco says. Our experts recommend the AVG software above for Macs. Download software directly from trusted manufacturer sites and never click on a pop-up ad promising free protection, a common scam, which could give you malware instead. Mid-sized TVs. We tested 29 models 46 to 52 inches. We test for picture quality of UHD and HD contact, including details, color accuracy, and contrast, viewing angles, and more. Median score was 60, range was 34 to 85, but it's a big range. Best overall picture quality was the LG OLED 48CX BUB 48-incher for $1,500, got an 85. Reliable brand and great HDR, Sony XPR at $1,000, and that's a 49-incher. Bargain buy, Samsung UN50T 50-inch at $400. Overall score was 66. Pre-finished solid wood flooring. We tested 12 products. We test for traction, ability to withstand scratches, dents, and UV light exposure. How quickly service wear is noticeable from simulated foot traffic. Median was 47, range was 35 to 71. Excellent at resisting scratches and dents. The Terragen Portfolio Natural Heat, $750 per square foot, stored at 71. Great traction for less lumber liquidators. Bella Wood Character Red Oak, $450 per square foot, got a 69, which is pretty close to the top. And resist UV light damage, Armstrong Peregrin Original Ember, $7 per square foot, and that got a 68, so they all scored well. Affordable dishwashers. We tested 83 models, 24 inches wide. How well it washes dishes with baked-on food, how thoroughly it dries, plastic items, energy use, noise, cycle, time, and more. The median was 70, the range was 45 to 85. The quickest cycle is a Whirlpool WPF 520, 115-minute cycle, $520, got a 75. The quiet cleaner was the Midea MDT 24H, 145-minute cycle, $450, got a 69. Reliable brand at bargain, IKEA Legon 0038-5804, 160-minute cycle, that's only $300, and it got a 67. Dishwasher detergents. We tested 20 products. How well a detergent removes caked-on food from glass dishes and how well it prevents the deposit of minerals on dishes. The median score was 76. The range was 47 to 92. The Supreme Clean, Member Mark, Sam's Club, Ultimate Clean dishwasher packs at 10 cents a load, scored a full high 92. Cleans plates without bleach. Cascade Platinum Action Packs with Dawn, 36 prints per load. That's what I use. Scored a 91. Best gel detergent deal, great value dishwasher gel at Walmart, 5 cents per load, 74 an overall score. Ask our experts. I'm not driving my car much this winter. How do I keep my battery from dying? Car batteries need regular use to stay charged. So if you're not driving your car for an extended period of time, even just a week or two in some cases, the battery may drain enough to keep it from starting. And a drained battery can void some battery warranties. To avoid the headache of a dead battery altogether, consider buying a trickle or maintainer charger. These are plug-in devices with clamps that attach to a car's battery terminals to keep it charged while parked. Basic trickle chargers are inexpensive, usually less than $50, and slow to replenish the car's battery, but they need to be monitored and manually disconnected when the battery is fully charged. A maintainer charger is probably a better bet. It aims to preserve the car battery's charge level, turning on and off as needed automatically, with no monitor required. The price is similar to that of a trickle charger. There are even solar-powered versions if you park outdoors away from power outlets. That's interesting. Another benefit to these chargers, our experts say, is that they can maintain the battery strength for more than just your car. They also do the job for lawn tractors and motorcycle batteries. Can a dehumidifier help protect me from the flu? The best way to protect yourself from the flu is to get a flu shot, along with diligent hand washing. But humidifying your indoor air may also be a good idea. There's evidence that the flu virus spreads more easily in dry air. For example, researchers found that the virus is more easily transmitted through the air when the humidity level is below 50% and less likely to be transmitted when the air is more humid than that. While this research isn't conclusive, using a humidifier is still a good idea, says Seema Lutakwada, Ph.D., an assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. Lacto Wallace said, advises keeping your indoor humidity levels between 40 and 60% to help reduce flu risk. Just don't go above 60% humidity levels that are too high may provoke virus spread. Other research has found that moderate humidity makes the virus particles heavier, so they may hit the ground more quickly after being expelled by a cough or sneeze, and thus be less likely to be inhaled by you. The same principle may also apply to the coronavirus, though more research is needed, Lakodawala says. Got any tips for grilling outside in the winter? In the past, Super Bowl Sunday has been the most popular grilling day of the winter, with 23% of owners breaking out their grills for the festivities. But there are a few things to know when lining up your grill after the cold, our experts say. Don't expect it to behave like it would in warmer weather, says Larry Cuifo, who oversaw CR's grill test. Grilling in cold weather takes longer. Preheating a gas grill can take twice as long. So first make sure that you have ample fuel on hand and the fuel tank is kept above freezing, because otherwise the gas won't flow. Also make sure that your grill is clear of snow and that the lid and knobs aren't frozen shut. If they are, don't force them open. That could damage the grill. Instead, let the grill defrost in a warmer spot, such as the garage, or use a hairdryer. Then think carefully about where to set up your grill. Don't place it too close to the house. 10 feet away is best for fire safety. And never grill it in a closed space, such as a covered patio or garage, because of carbon monoxide poisoning risks. Try to position the grill in a way that's shielded from the wind so the flames don't blow out on a gusty day. When you fire up the grill, the flame should typically burn most blue, not yellow. Most yellow could indicate clogged air intakes or burners that need adjusting. Heat will escape every time you lift the lid, prolonging grilling time. An app connected to wireless thermometers lets you monitor the temperature, as you can make sure meat is thoroughly cooked without raising the lid. When you're finished, clean your grill while it's still hot. Food debris is much harder to scuff off in the cold, and there's a picture of a snowman rapidly melting while he tries to grill a hot dog on the grill. And this is pretty timely for this time of year. Space heater solutions for chilly rooms. 54% of people don't have a house office, didn't have a home office before the pandemic, according to a recent survey of more than 2,000 consumers conducted by YouGov in partnership with USA Today and Linkedia. Since then, many remote workers have carved out new office spaces at home, perhaps in a far-flung nook or previously unused space. But as winter sets in, you may realize that you've packed a drafty or downright cold work spot. Want to know whether the space heater can help? In our test, we found many standalone heaters that work well and kick off a good amount of heat if you choose wisely. First, decide whether you want the space heater to heat past you or just warm up the whole room. Our tests find that not all models do both well. The oscillating Lasco model is a champ at keeping a large room warm, but it's not the best at keeping a person feeling toasty, also known as spot heating. We test space heaters by evaluating how well they warm a standard-sized living room in 15 minutes and how well they spot heat in 15 minutes. Our spot heating test uses mannequin wired with sensors, says CR engineer Chris Regan. We want to know how your body will feel when you're sitting about 4 feet from the appliance. It's safest to keep heaters on the floor rather than on a table and away from objects. Look for models with auto shutoff if the heater gets knocked over, included in all four shown here. Always plug a heater directly into a wall outlet and never leave it running unattended. And there's the Lasco, which they have a picture of, and it's, it's a quiet spot heater with a 5-year warranty, the Vornado VH60, which got a very high score. It's good for room heating, spot heating, and very good for fire safety. The large room heater is the Honeywell H2980, which is pretty good for room heating, really good for stop heating, and excellent for fire safety. And the Comfort Zone CZ499R, at $55, overall score of 83, room heating and spot heating and fire safety were all excellent. And the Slim Heater from Lasco, which looks like just a tall rod almost, and overall score was 75. It's good for room heating, not very good for spot heating, and excellent for fire safety. Product spotlight. Should you buy a Wi-Fi extender? To anyone stuck at home with a slow, spotty internet connection, Wi-Fi range extenders sound like the easy answer to a thorny problem. You can buy one for as little as $30, plug it into an outlet, and your problem will disappear. And extenders may indeed work if your goal is just to get Wi-Fi in a specific dead zone, like in your bedroom or an attic-turned-home office. But if you're looking to increase coverage throughout your home, our experts say you should invest instead in an admittedly pricier mesh router system, often $200 to $500. We tested 6 popular low-cost Wi-Fi extenders from companies that make some of the highest-scoring regular routers in our ratings, putting into work in 2,000-square-foot homes owned by CR's testers. We found that Wi-Fi extenders can improve your coverage by expanding the range of your network, but their effectiveness can be limited to a host of factors, such as, say, Rich Fiasco, CR's lead electronic tester, including the distance between your router and the extender, the speed of your home internet connection, and the Wi-Fi demands of your family. In our testing, the extender succeeded in expanding the reach of the Wi-Fi signal into previous dead spots. But even then, our experts say extenders get you slower speeds, often about half the speed of your regular router. So, for example, if you stand next to your Wi-Fi router where the signal is strongest and get 50 megabytes per second, fast enough for 4K streaming, the speed of your extended network on the porch might be only about 25 megabytes, a speed more suitable for tasks like checking email or browsing the web. And that's with no thick walls or large appliances in the way. The bottom line? A good extender can bring Wi-Fi to an otherwise dead zone, but don't expect to be as speedy as the rest of your home. Two experts tip to get the best result from your extender. Plug the extender into a power outlet midway between your router and the dead zone area. If you place the extender too far from the router, you risk losing more signal speed than necessary. Too close to the router, the signal may not reach the desired location. And note that the walls and appliance can obstruct signals. The mobile manufacturer apps designed to guide you through the setup process aren't that easy to use. Our testers are tripped up by the unclear directions. Instead, we suggest you use a different method called Wi-Fi Protected Setup, WPS, which was available in all of the models we tested, and links the extender to your router. Simply push the WPS button on the router, which will link the extender to the Wi-Fi network without meaning you type in a username and password. Then just use the manufacturer's app to adjust the device setting to suit your needs. Extender Nightwood EX7000 for $140, the D-Link Data 1620 for $60, the TP-Link R220 for $30, and the Linksys RE6300 for $60, all of the kind of ones that you can use for this type of thing. To close with a couple jokes here, all in a day's work. My wife helps run a food pantry from the basement of a Catholic church. After an appliance store delivered two freezers to the church, it sent a personalized follow-up email asking for feedback. It began, "Dear Saint." As a high school Latin teacher, I'm used to fielding questions about my subject, which some find arcane and ancient. However, I'm surprised when someone asked, "Do you have any native speakers in your class?" Sadly, that person was the principal. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Note that's NC Reading Service, not North Carolina Reading Service, for the website. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time.